Sam Cooke, playing more of the music you love on Radio Plymouth.
Feels like ages since the last Sunday Supplement, but it is back and we're back with a bang. We are talking the Bags of Help Fund from Tesco, helping a local charity which at mental health, a new pasty for Britain's Ocean City, and also firefighters slash police, bridges and honesty boxes. And Claire Robinson, of course, has been in chatting everything arts and entertainment over the next 7 days.
Radio.
£2,000 is on its way to a city charity that helps disabled children enjoy life on the ocean waves. The cash has come from Tesco's Bags of Help Fund. The Island Trust's Ocean Discoverability sees its sand-based fleet used for teaching sailing-based knowledge. Now, project manager John Hepburn came in to tell me all about it.
The money that they get from selling the plastic carrier bags, and it's where you put your tokens in the box after you've done your shopping at Tesco's. So we went up for a day, and actually we were faced with some sort of quite high-profile local charities and thought, well, the chances are getting anything. But of course, I suspect that they just thought, we're big, high-profile local charities, we don't need to do anything.
Just walk in like you own the place, that's what.
Indeed. We went there and we had a display and we had a little video running, and there were three of us there saying, can we help you make your decision as to where you should put your token? And lots of people were quite happy to be helped. Actually, quite a lot of people just gave us their token and said, put it where you like.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, we did actually come out with an award, which was fantastic.
And what does the money mean that you can do going forward?
As part of the project, which takes disabled kids day sailing in these traditional rigged boats in the Sound, it's got quite a strong educational element to it. Otherwise, the special schools that send us their kids wouldn't bother, because just, you know, going out for a sail is nice, but...
Yes.
And having the educational element helps sell it to their bosses. And there's a certain amount of educational material that you need to do it with. And it needs to be revised, kept up to date. And that's going to help us certainly this year, because I've been doing quite a lot of revision to it. One of them, for instance, is a word search. You know, all kids like word
Absolutely.
Searches. And one of our boats has recently changed. Tectona's left the fleet and gone independent. And Joanna Lucretia has joined the fleet. So there's no point in having Tectona in the word search anymore.
No, that's true.
Have you ever done a word search?
I haven't done a...
You ever created one?
For years. I mean, yeah, I've never tried to create one.
Much more difficult than it looks.
Yeah. Because do you ever accidentally make words when you're...
Yes, and some of them are not appropriate.
Ah, right, okay, I see. I suppose then you've got to sit there and think...
Then you've got to
is
look...
Is that
at,
rude? Yeah, is it?
Yeah, so you've got to hope that you're right. I ground-truthed the first attempt with my grandkids, who picked up several mistakes.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah.
You were just testing them though, right, John?
Yeah.
How many children are you helping through this scheme?
We've got 6 weeks of 5 days, and the number of children on each trip depends on their degree of disability and their degree of ability and the amount of help they need from their staff. Normally they come from special schools, so they've got their teachers and teaching assistants come with them. And I leave it up to them what ratio they use, with a minimum of 2 staff. You know, so if there is a problem, there is at least one other member of staff. And it's 8 total. So it can go from 2 staff and 6 kids to we have had 5 staff and 3 kids for the ones who are more dependent. On average, it's sort of 4 or 5 kids.
And how do people get involved? Are they sort of got to pull on someone's arm and say, can you put our name forward? Or can they get into contact with you through your website?
I've now got a stable of schools, because we've been doing this for nearly 10 years. 3 years in the Island Trust and 7 years before that in the Bristol Channel Pilot Cutter Trust. And the programme's essentially the same. And all the schools that sailed with the previous charity have come across and sailed with this one. And I pick up new schools from time to time. So it's really a question of going out to the schools and saying, this is a programme, what dates do you want?
Very good. I like that. That's something a little bit different, isn't it? For you going to them and asking for that. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, best of luck with it in the future. And obviously, any updates, let us know. That's what we're here for. But thank you for coming in and talking to Radio Plymouth.
Thank you.
The Sunday Supplement with Sam Cook on Radio Plymouth.
I do really like that. Sounds great for your Sunday morning on the Sunday Supplement, Radio Plymouth. Have you seen this? A group of firefighters known as Community Responders is now going to start tackling crime as well. So seven from Devon and Somerset Fire and Rescue Service have been trained as police special constables. That means that they can actually arrest people too. However, it's been sort of criticised for blurring the lines between emergency services, but to be honest, I'm seeing it as a real positive because it's going to boost that response time in rural areas, which of course is really, really important. Let's get a tune on though, shall we, next from Cher on that ship, If I Could Turn Back Time. This is Radio Plymouth. If I could turn back time. This is Radio Plymouth Sunday Supplement. Now, a city woman who runs an anxiety and depression support group here is calling on others to get involved with their events if they're frustrated by long waiting lists for professional help. Kerry McManus got in touch actually through our Facebook page, so thanks for doing that, Kerry. And she runs PADS, P-A-D-S, and she spoke to me all about the work that she's doing. What made you start?
I struggle with mental health difficulties myself. Therefore, I get to experience firsthand, unfortunately, the long waiting lists to get seen by professionals. And so wanted somewhere where other sufferers could come together just to chat with like-minded people.
And your next event is on Good Friday. How do people get involved with that if they want to?
Free to attend, and it's really an activity day for kids just to help them break up the Easter holidays. And there's going to be small charge for the activities we'll be putting on, as well as the raffle. That's going to be at Bite Size Cafe on Albert Road.
And what sort of things are going to be going on there?
We're going to be having mask making, cake and biscuit decorating, colouring. We're going to be having an Easter bunny handing out Easter eggs to the children that attend. Things like that, really. Just a way to try and bring some funds in for the organisation to carry on what it's doing.
How important is the work that you're doing there? Obviously, you're benefiting from it too, as well as people who are attending them.
I have been having some very positive feedback to the point that people have said since becoming a member, they haven't felt so isolated or alone in their day-to-day struggles with mental health.
For anybody who's listening to this and thinks this is something I want to be part of, just give us the name of that Facebook group.
It's called PADS, which is all capitals, but you have a full stop in between each letter, which stands for Plymouth Anxiety Depression Support. It's a closed group, as I said. They will be asked for their age and location, and that's all that's needed for them to be able to access the page. We also run two coffee meets a week. One is on Thursday mornings, which is held at Haven Care on Union Street, next to the Zone.
Yeah.
And that's held Thursday mornings, 10:30 till 11:30. All that's asked at that one is a donation towards refreshments and the hire charge of the venue we're using. And then we also hold a Wednesday evening one because although people struggle with mental health, some of them are still able to access work. So I like to try and accommodate as many of the members as possible so those that working can still come and engage should they wish. And that is on Wednesday evenings, 6:30 till 8:30. And that's at the Bite Size Cafe on Albert Road, which is run by a lovely lady called Emily Rendell Stringer, who is very supportive and helping me with the evening meetings and is also helping me by letting us use her cafe for the Easter activity.
Kerry, normally at this point in the interview, we'd ask for a song that would maybe reflect the story or maybe something that makes you happy, I guess. Is there one that you can think of off the top of your head? I like putting people on the spot.
There is, but I can't remember who the hell it's sung by.
Go on, give me a clue. I might be able to help you.
It's from, I believe it's from the song Greatest Showmaster, and it's called This Is Me.
This Is Me, Kiala Settle. Let's get it on. Thank you, Kerry, for talking to Radio Plymouth, and best of luck with it on Good Friday. I am not a stranger to the dark. Double whammy, I said I'd give you updates, and it's what we do. A bridge that links Devon and Cornwall will reopen later this month. Write it down. After being damaged in a car crash last week, the ancient bridge in Gunness Lake was hit on Tuesday with a 30-mile diversion in place ever since. I mean, how annoying is that? Devon County Council says engineers should be finished by the 26th of April. So that's exciting. And also, how honest are you? Apparently here, Plymouth, yeah, it's the best place in the country to lose your wallet or phone in the street because most people, believe it or not, are the most likely to hand it back. So Britain's Ocean City topped the honesty survey that was out this week. More than two-thirds of people here said they'd hand in valuables or try and find the owners. And that was the highest proportion in the country. So everybody, put your hands in the air, bend your elbows and pat yourselves on the back. Very well done, everybody.
Sam Cooke, playing more of the music you love on Radio Plymouth.
Is there loving in your eyes all the way? Shake it off.
This is Radio Plymouth's Sunday Supplement. This is a great story. Brilliant. The Liner Lookout Cafe on the Ho. You know the one. It's launching a new pasty this week. And there's a little bit of history behind it. It's after a recipe for a venison version was discovered. It dates back a considerable amount of time. I won't spoil it for you, but Dave Morrish, whose wife Anne runs the cafe and develops it with a little bit of hard work, spoke to me early this week.
We all like pasties, and especially on the other side of the Tamar, they seem to like them a lot there as well. There's a one with a little bit of a difference that's going to be at the Liner Lookout.
Yes, we came up from some research that was found in the Plymouth book called the Plymouth Audit Book, which is a 16th century book, which was found in the Plymouth Archives in November 2006. And in there, there's a ledger mentioning about pasties. But the problem was the handwriting was, it was all handwritten, and it dates back to the 16th century. So obviously, a lot of translating was done, but one of the things that came out, it was actually venison pasties.
It's something I don't think I've ever had before, but and especially one that dates back to 1510, you reckon?
This is what they're saying. No, it's completely unique. So, yeah, it's a first, as it were.
What sort of stuff is in it, obviously aside from the venison? Is there anything that you go, oh, you wouldn't normally put that in a pasty?
No, it's completely different ingredients. Because at that time, potatoes weren't readily available, and a lot of the vegetables that was actually in pasties now wasn't available. So that threw a bit of a spanner in the works to start with.
Yeah.
So she started back doing some research into what could be found readily available at that time. And what she came up with was obviously venison, leeks, and turnip. And we made the first batch, but they were like very dry. So we sat back and thought, well, what could be to make them moist and stop the venison drying out? So we again looked at what would have been relatively available at the time, and that was clotted cream.
Really?
Clotted cream was relatively available.
Now, did it go on the top or bottom? That's
right. Don't start that argument. Don't start that one. Yeah, basically, what happens, you start off with your vegetables. Nothing was minced up, so it's all layered up. And then you have your venison, and then on top of that is the clotted cream.
Now, have you tried one yet?
Oh, yes.
And what would you give it out of 10, and how does it compare to your classic pasty?
I would give it 20 out of 10.
20 out of 10? Oh, that's pretty high, Dave, I'll be honest.
Yeah, that's pretty high, isn't it? But I'm totally biased. I think they're a lot tastier.
That's a brave move, Dave.
Yeah, it's definitely a brave move. Well, put it this way, the Plymouth Museum, the Box, did a thing with them a little while ago. They were getting rave reviews, and this was from a large percentage of the people who had them were elderly people. And, you know, they were like all sat around comparing recipes. And they loved them. And like they were saying, it's something totally different.
Hopefully they sell like hot pasties. Anyway, thank you, Dave, for talking to Radio Plymouth. Best of luck with it.
Okay, thanks very much indeed.
Sam Cooke, playing more of the music you love on Radio Plymouth.
Know I should be ordering takeout.
Now, it seems like ages since we've seen each other, but Claire Robinson is back. The Herald's Claire Robinson, of course, to chat everything arts and entertainment over the next 7 days.
Wow, it's the big one. Easter weekend, as has happened for the last 10 or so years, we have Rockfest.
Yes.
At Crash Manor. It started off at the Junction, it's now at Crash Manor. And it's this amazing guy, Cuz Cousin. He is a man on a mission. He started the festival, and then it became, he started it for charity, and then it became, it took on this kind of other life as a fundraiser for St Luke's Hospice, because unfortunately his mum, Dot, died in 2019. Mm. But the people there were so amazing that, you know, he just decided that all the charity money would go there. And he has actually raised a staggering £90,000.
Amazing.
In the last wow. 9 years.
Yeah.
So he is, his target for this year is £100,000. And he is really on a mission to get that.
And is he hopeful?
Well, he is, but he's very nervous. He's always,
I'm not surprised.
He's
yeah, you don't jinx it, do you?
Nervous that people won't come. But I'm sure they will. I mean, it's £10 on the door on the Saturday and on the Sunday. And if I give you a quick rundown of the bands. Now, the bands are various different kinds of rock. So it's kind of grunge, it's punk, it's heavy rock, it's metal. It's all that kind of stuff. It's, there's some covers bands, there's a lot of originals bands. So on Saturday, we start off at 2 o'clock with Forbidden Riff. Then there's Texan 3, King Bison, The Eyelids, Blues Brothers Collective, Seattle Saints, Levens Four, The Outlanders, Crazy Arm, which he's been trying to get for a long time, and that's brilliant
good,
to get them because they are really good, and XLR at 11 o'clock. And then on the Sunday, we have Capitol Hill, Mentality, Edge of the Void, TNT, Gemini, Bus Station Loonies, Monkey Business, The Vibes, and finishing with Diamond Geezers, which again he's been trying to get for a long time. They finish at 10 on the Sunday, 11 on the Saturday. Because by, he said by the Sunday, everyone was feeling quite weary.
Yes. Oh, well, yeah. Very, very diplomatic use of language there.
Yes,
yeah.
A little weary. So it's £10 on the door for each day. There is a fantastic raffle. Now, I think there's two raffles. There's a sort of general raffle, lots and lots of prizes. But there's a big raffle which Woody from Bastille has actually volunteered to give, donate a pair of tickets to the Isle of Wight Festival.
That is one
weekend.
Of the best ones as well.
Is it? Right. Yeah, I haven't been to that one, but I can imagine it is. So, you know, I'm sure everyone loves Bastille, but even if you don't, you get a pair of tickets for the weekend. So
good old Woody.
Fantastic prize. And then 60 other prizes. And, of course, all the bands give their time for nothing, Cuz does it all for nothing. It's just such an amazing event. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, do support it by going along there next weekend. Something completely different.
Yeah, a little bit different, yeah.
We're back to the Theatre Royal. Now, last week we talked about Jill Murphy's Worst Witch, but you can tell it's Easter because there's another fabulous children's book that's been turned into a theatrical performance. And this time it's We're Going on a Bear Hunt. I remember this.
Yeah, we can't go this. Over it all around.
Well,
it
yeah, that's it right, yeah. So all together, we're going to the theatre. We're going to see a bear hunt. What a beautiful play. We're not scared.
Well, we shall see.
Absolutely. So, yeah, direct from the West End, this one is.
Oh, very nice.
So, join the intrepid family of adventurers and their musical dog on a quest to find a bear as they wade through the gigantic swishy-wushy grass, the splishy-splashy river and the thick, oozy, squelchy mud.
Hey, well done getting that out, first take. I'm very impressed.
OK, and then last but not least in this section, this has been, yes, I can't wait to see this. Mark Morris celebrates the 50th anniversary of Sgt Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band with an exuberant new dance work. Now, you see the posters everywhere, these brilliantly coloured posters. And the five-star five-star reviews across the board, and people say it's, you hear the album in a whole new context. It's fun, it's colourful, it's unpredictable. It's a joyous celebration of this great, great rock album.
Oh, one of the best. And one of the best covers, I think, as well.
Yes, the colour definitely comes across in the production as well. And I've had a little look online, and, you know, the arrangements are different, as you'd expect for a ballet performance, I guess. But, you know, it's with a little help from my friends today, in the life when I'm 64, within you, without you, all these kind of fantastic songs, but done in a very different way.
What extra have you got for us?
Okay, what extra have we got? Faulty Towers. Now, it was, I think this week it was voted the best.
It was, yeah.
British comedy of all time, and it certainly was amazing.
It beat I'm Alan Partridge and Porridge, I think, to that accolade. Obviously,
really?
It's in very good company.
It is indeed, yeah. And this happens, I've never actually been to it, but it sounds fantastic. It happens quite often at the Theatre Royal, the Faulty Towers dining experience. Special evening of fun and laughter. So whether even if you're not a fan of the original series, and who isn't, I think you won't stop laughing, because you're basically in the company of the ill-tempered Basil, the long-suffering Sybil, and the hapless Spanish waiter Manuel. And I think some of it's scripted, but most of it isn't.
That's
so
fantastic.
They make it up as they go along, so anything can happen. Yes. So you get a meal, obviously, but it's served
a Wardle
by these,
salad and a gin and tonic.
Of course, yes. So that sounds brilliant. And that's Thursday and Friday next week. And then the B-Bar. Let's go to the B-Bar. So next Sunday, so that'll be Easter Day, Leo Rondo and Ags Connolly are two amazing country artists who'll be playing. They're both solo artists, but they're doing a sort of duo headlining tour.
Yeah.
Leo's from Austin, Texas. Ags is from Oxfordshire. So very different backgrounds. Leo deals in stories, candid and plain spoken, that are rooted in his in the Turtle Mountains of Dakota, where he grew up. And he's heavily influenced by Hank Williams and Jimmy Rogers.
Don't want to be anal now. Which Dakota?
Oh, you've just been to America, haven't you? So you're splitting hairs here.
Yeah,
you tell me.
Yeah, I don't know. Carry on, sorry.
Okay, Ags has been hailed as the best country singer-songwriter in the UK by Country Music People magazine. So that's pretty impressive.
Wow.
He's very, very well known on the circuit and has featured several times on Bob Harris Country. If we can say that.
Bob, yeah, absolutely. No, he's the Don, isn't he, when it comes to that? And country is growing so much at the moment, so quickly, and really becoming a thing.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's a recipe for country music, isn't there, which is either Jesus, drinking, and driving, I think. As long as you've got all of those things in there, you've got a country hit,
really?
It seems.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, and then I just wanted to mention also at the B-Bar, on Friday and Saturday. Friday we have Joanna Cook, and she is just superb. She's a local lass. She's a fabulous soul singer and keyboard player. And, you know, Night Spend and her company is very, very entertaining. And then Andy Quick also, he's on at the B-Bar on Saturday. He fronts two bands, of course. He's the frontman of Land of the Giants, and he fronts his own band. But he's a fabulous solo artist in his own right and very entertaining. Fabulous songs, all his own. So, yeah, lots of entertainment there.
Action-packed week. Well, Claire, thanks for coming in, and we will talk to you next week.
OK.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Radio Plymouth. If you enjoyed it, don't forget to subscribe. For more podcast and interview special features, head to radioplymouth.com.